Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Sharon. And we are Feet of Clay, Confessions of the Cult Sisters. So way back in the 1970s, we became radical Christians in the Jesus movement.
We were promoted to leadership in the crazy cult commune, Last Days Ministries, founded by none other than Christian music megastar Keith Green.
Now we're sharing our decades-long escape from the trauma and abuse of extreme Christianity.
We tell our own stories and also invite guests to talk about fundamentalism, purity culture, arranged marriages, child abuse, misogyny, homophobia, power-hungry patriarchy, and much more.
Much, much more. So join us as we share our journey of healing and humor and how we finally found peace and joy on the other side.
Feet of Clay, Confessions of the Cult Sisters, wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 109, Debating Evolution. This is Matthew. And in this episode, I'll be reviewing a Christian podcast that gives tips on how to debate evolution with an atheist. The podcast is from The Think Institute, see link one in the show notes, and is by Joel Setterkase, who is a young earth creationist. I have reviewed Joel's justification of this position back in episode 80, see link two. In this episode, Joel has conversations with atheists with the intention of picking holes in evolution. There is some low-quality dialogue in the exchanges, so I will also be criticising things that are said to Joel. This won't be a one-sided critique. The only caveat I will give is that I only have access to Joel's edited discussion. I can't know if Joel has or has not edited the discussion to favour his position. That episode can be found at link 3, should you wish to listen to his episode without my deadpan commentary.
We've all been there. You're talking with a skeptic, a non-Christian, evolutionist, atheist, and the question comes up about fossils and rock layers and scientific evidence from history and geology, and you realize that you just don't know enough to counter all the pieces of evidence. So what happens? You go off and look for evidence, and you come back and you present it to your skeptical friend, and what does he say? I'm just not convinced. I need more evidence. Or, no, I actually have a rebuttal to that evidence. You need more. So you go and you look for more and you bring it back, and the cycle repeats ad nauseum. Like I said, we've all been there. I've been there many times myself. And nothing is more frustrating because you know that what the Bible says is true, and yet you get stuck in this endless evidentiary cycle and you never actually get to the real thing you want to talk about, which is the gospel.
I've been there. It's one of the things that triggered my eventual deconversion. I went down a rabbit trail of evidence to prove evolution was wrong and ended up filling the knowledge gap I had about the scientific process and what we do actually know about evolution. So I never got to the part about sharing the gospel.
So you want to get to the gospel, but they want to talk about the supposed conflict between science and what the Bible teaches.
If you say that the Bible teaches a literal seven-day creation, then yes, you are in conflict with the evidential conclusions of the scientific community.
So science supposedly disproves a six-day creation sometime in the last 6,000 to 7,000 years.
Yes.
Or science supposedly disproves the cataclysmic flood of Noah.
Yes.
And you want to get to the gospel, but there is this false understanding that science and faith oppose one another.
The Christian who claims the Bible teaches things that contradict scientific conclusions is the one who is creating this opposition. It's not a false understanding. It is very real, and you've just heard it from Joel's mouth. He believes things by faith that are in conflict with science. Despite his denials, he is the one creating the conflict.
And it's assumed that all the Bible's explanations are arising from this unscientific, ignorant, historical past.
This is Joel creating more conflict. Atheists like myself will counter Joel's attempts to defend his young earth view. I do not make assumptions on what the Bible says, because different Christians come to different conclusions on that. I can only conclude that the Bible isn't clear on matters of modern science.
And of course, the origin theory that has the seal of approval from the supposed scientific community is Darwinian evolution.
Supposed scientific community, eh? This is standard faith-based creationist polemic. Get used to it, there's plenty more.
It's assumed that there is not and could never be any evidence against the evolutionary model. And if there were going to be a successful challenge to it, it certainly couldn't come from the Bible or from religion.
No, it couldn't, for one very simple reason. The scientific community has decades of independent research creating hundreds of thousands of experiments and papers describing how they know what they know. Far more than I could include in any show notes. What the Bible says simply cannot match this weight of investigation. Joel has a basic flaw in his reasoning. He starts from the position that the Bible is literally true, and he rejects anything that he thinks contradicts that. The scientific methodology of test and validation is not in his toolkit.
This way of thinking is popular, but it's false. And today, we are taking it head on.
Ooh, I bet you can't wait, eh?
This is Worldview Legacy.
Yeah, we don't need the intro, so I'll just skip this and get straight to the meat.
This is going to help you articulate your faith more confidently in your local area, and it's going to help you lead your kids and wife in...
Wait, what did you just say?
Lead your kids and wife...
Jesus Christ, Joel, misogynist as well. I didn't expect that flag to get an airing, but I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. I don't have time to drop a turd on this comment, so I'll highlight it and move on.
Today you're going to hear me debating two believers in evolution. You're going to see that you don't need to be a geologist or a scientist to defend your faith with confidence.
You don't? Ignorant people can be very confident about their positions as well.
So what I tried to do is to use a version of the evolutionary argument against naturalism.
See link 4 for the Wikipedia article on the evolutionary argument against naturalism. And link 5 for Stephen Law's rebuttal.
Which is an argument that I learned from studying Alvin Plantinga, a brilliant Christian philosopher. And what he says is that if evolution is true and there is no God, then all of our reasoning and mental processes are all evolved for survival, not seeking of truth.
This is essentially true. Evolution does not guarantee that what we conclude about the world is true. Survival is the dominant driving factor. That doesn't exclude truth knowing. Truth will often be a significant factor in survival. This is also why the scientific method is so useful. It creates an environment where our personal conclusions can be tested objectively. It removes our fallible minds from the equation.
And because of that, we have no reason to actually trust any of our beliefs, including belief in atheism.
And theism, Joel. Don't forget that one.
I was Christian, but my question is, what is your definition of faith?
Okay, let's see. Faith is trust or belief.
Okay. Now, do you actually believe, like, Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale, do you believe those actually happened?
Yes.
Well, science says they didn't.
I'm always wary of a statement that begins, "Science says." Scientific conclusions are pretty much always on the scale. So declaring that science says those stories didn't happen is not the greatest opening. There are better ways to say it. Like the explanation that we have evidence for millions of years, and that whales can't actually swallow a human, let alone a human survive inside for longer than a day. The challenge with taking that line against someone like Joel is that Joel believes in a God that will literally insert itself into stories like this and suspend the laws of physics to achieve a result. So even if you could get Joel to agree that a whale, or big fish, can't swallow a human, he's got the God did it gambit to fall back on. Starting with the proclamation that science says is poor. Don't do that. Understand that some scientific conclusions are tentative, pending further study.
When did science say that?
If the whole world was flooded, that would be salt water, wouldn't it?
Whoever this is, they ignored Joel's question and moved on to talk about salt water in the flood. This gives the impression of not wanting to address topics honestly.
Okay, you mean like what the oceans are filled with today? 70% of the Earth's surface is covered with water? Salt water? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you say the whole world was covered with water.
I didn't come up with that. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what history says.
How do we get freshwater lakes?
I hope Joel had better interlocutors than this. But this is the guy he chose to put into this episode. I'm not impressed. They're not using a very well thought out argument against the global flood. and they're tackling someone who knows all the pat responses by heart. That's not to say salt water wouldn't be an issue. It would. The mixture of fresh and salt water would kill all the freshwater fish alive at the time, and it would contaminate all land for many years, making it extremely difficult to farm anything. All the submerged plants would be dead, so there would be no plant-based food for a very long time. Any survivors of this flood would starve without prepared food that could last years. The real kicker for the flood story, though, is that there simply is not enough water on Earth to cover the whole planet to the depths mentioned in the Bible.
Like evolution.
Wait, have we moved on to Noah now? I'm sorry.
There's scientific evidence of evolution.
Joel hadn't even finished giving a response to the saltwater challenge, and this guy straight away jumps into evolution. He's literally gish-galloping Joel. Ironic and funny and deeply, deeply disappointed.
You don't want to plant your flag on evolution, man. Evolution is a theory that's dead on arrival.
Evolution is fact.
Okay. Absolutely. Let's go back to Noah real quick. You asked about salt water. You know that the world is mostly covered with salt water, correct?
Yes.
And you know that there are fossils on top of Mount Everest, probably, right?
Well, sure.
And you know that in order to have fossils of any kind, you have to have extreme pressure and rapid burial, right?
Yes.
It's probably my English ears are not familiar with this accent, but this guy sounds high to me. Do not do debates on drugs, okay? The correct response to what Joel has just said is that a flooded earth could not create fossils at the top of mountains because rapid burial is not possible and the pressure is not great enough. Fossils of the type Joel is referring to are formed on the seafloor, where sedimentary burial happens easily and the pressure is high. They are found high up on mountains because seismic uplift has pushed them there. This is a process that takes millions of years.
And you probably have heard that every single ancient culture just about has a flood legend. You probably heard that, right?
No.
And without giving him a chance to catch his breath, Joel jumps onto the safest creationist platform when talking about the global flood. Every culture has a flood account, apparently. This is because every culture that's been around long enough will experience a flood of some sort eventually. This is not news and it is not evidence of a global flood. Joel is conveniently ignoring that the cultures and floods he's talking about are separated by hundreds or even thousands of years. Anyone who thinks cultural legends of floods is evidence of a global flood is, to be brutally honest, a fucking idiot. But the atheist here is too unprepared to think about that. Shame.
Oh, well, you should look into that. Look up ancient flood legends. The idea that the global flood is somehow unscientific...
It is.
Or that science says that it's not there. I mean this very respectfully, but that's just a false statement. Science doesn't tell us...
How about Jonah and the whale?
Well, I thought we were talking about Noah. I'm making a case for Noah.
I'm talking Bible stories in general. You think they're all true.
Well, so
like
I just explained to you why I believe in Noah. Do you agree with me that the flood of Noah is actually a lot more reasonable and historically reliable than you initially thought? Have I demonstrated that to you? Why not?
No.
Because I've just made a case for it. Why not?
Because everything that I know and all the different species, there ain't no way you can build a boat to hold that many species.
This guy's all over the place and woefully unprepared. Use this as a good example of what not to do.
All right, so just you're not aware of how they did it, so you think it couldn't have happened?
Unless you're thinking like Kent Hovind. And think all cows came from just two cows.
So it sounds to me like you're not aware how it could have happened and therefore it didn't happen. And
there's no way it could have happened.
Well, I respectfully, you're very uninformed about it.
Do you think there's different kinds of animals or different species of animals?
Well, define a species.
Rottweiler, German Shepherd, Staffordshire.
You mean all those dogs that have a common ancestor?
Yeah, they do have a common ancestor.
Okay, we're on the right track. That's good, okay.
Yeah, that's also part of evolution.
Bingo. I hope this guy's able to build on that. The process of all dogs alive today being descended from ancient wolves is exactly the same process by which all animals alive today descended from a common ancestor even further back in time. Gene changes create a small change which is carried on to the next generation, and so on. groups that get isolated do not share the same inherited mutations, and so, as time progresses, they diverge further and further apart as they evolve down separate paths. Great Danes and Shih Tzus have the same common ancestor, which was neither a Great Dane nor a Shih Tzu.
We have a common ancestor with apes.
We do.
So you think that we're evolved apes?
We are.
We are a species of primate, yes.
Okay, how'd you come to believe that?
Because we're sapiens.
Well, sapiens means wise. So, because we're wise? Or what do you mean?
We are a Homo sapiens. There's also a Homo erectus.
Mm-hmm. So we
are
a wise
man. Many types.
So because someone told you that you were an evolved ape, you believe that we are an evolved ape, and therefore Christianity can't be true, and then therefore what?
We are an evolved primate.
Okay, so that is your faith commitment.
We are in the same family as apes.
Respectfully, sir, that is a faith commitment that you hold.
As I said, this chap is woefully underprepared. Humans being primates is not a faith commitment. It is a biological category, and that is where humans belong. See Link 6. Joel is revealing his own polemic standard by taking this position, and the stooge he's talking to has led him there.
You've come to believe
faith,
it because...
It's fact. It's science fact.
Do you believe it?
Absolutely, I believe it because it's backed with actual evidence.
Okay, so you have a belief. If you don't like the word faith, we can use the word belief. You've got this belief commitment that we are evolved apes. So according to your worldview then, why are we even having this discussion? Do apes debate this sort of thing, or is there something different between us and apes?
Well, do you have any evidence of God?
Real quick, I did ask you a question. Why are we having this debate? If we're apes?
Because things that you said in other discussions.
Okay, no, my question is, okay, so Charles Darwin said, "With me, the horrid doubt always arises, whether the convictions of man's mind, which has been developed from the mind of the lower animals, are of any value or are at all trustworthy. Would anyone trust in the convictions of a monkey's mind if there are any convictions in such a mind?"
Don't you love a good cherry-picked quote? This quote is from a letter Charles Darwin wrote in July 1881. See Link 7 to read the whole thing. This is essentially a foundation of the evolutionary argument against naturalism. See Links 4 and 5. It's not as impressive as Joel thinks it is, but let's see what he says and I'll address it as he says it.
So that was Charles Darwin. That's the founder of your belief in evolution. How would you answer Darwin?
Well, you're talking monkeys. A monkey is a monkey.
Darwin's talking about man as evolved monkeys, as evolved apes.
Well,
a mind that's been developed from the minds of the
primates.
Animals. Your issue is with Charles Darwin, not with me here. You've got to debate him on this. Because Charles Darwin expressed a horrid doubt. He said, "The horrid doubt always arises. Would anyone trust in the convictions of a monkey's mind if there are any convictions in such a mind?" You've got to figure out and you've got to explain to Charles Darwin.
Since Joel is belaboring this point, further on in the letter, Charles Darwin says the following. "I could show fight on natural selection having done and doing more of the progress of civilization than you seem inclined to admit." Remember, this is from a letter, so he's writing it to someone, and they're having a dialogue over several letters about the role of natural selection in the evolution of the human mind. So, despite what Charles Darwin actually said in that quote, it's part of a larger context. And Joel, as is usual for our creationist friends, is using it completely out of context.
"Why there is any categorical or qualitative difference between a monkey and your mind. Now, sir,
of a God."
This is what happens when you come into a conversation woefully unprepared. Either admit that you're unprepared for that particular point and move on, but don't make stuff up and don't keep shifting. Our atheist evolutionist friend here isn't really doing himself, or atheism in general, any favours.
Sir, we're one thing at a time, because it seems like every time I make a good point, it seems like you try to squeeze out of it.
Yes or no, real quick. Do you have evidence for a God?
Real quick, because we are talking about Charles Darwin. How would you answer Charles Darwin? See, this is the problem that atheists often have, is that...
You think that a chicken lays an egg, and it'd be evolution if something else came out of that egg.
I am failing to.
Do you think evolution happens in a snap?
No, I don't. I don't follow.
Evolution happens over thousands of years.
Okay. Well, Stephen Jay Gould believed in something called punctuated equilibrium, which is a laughable theory, but the reason why he came up with it is he was an evolutionist. The reason why he came up with it is because he realized that there's not enough time.
Ceiling gate for the Wikipedia article on punctuated equilibrium. It's not especially popular in modern biology. It has problems. And it is not a good point to bring up when critiquing evolutionary theory. Joel should know this, but he can't resist the standard creationist talking points.
According, even by the deep time evolutionary timescale for evolutionary, evolutionary process to happen. Look, sir, the theory of evolution, as propounded by Darwin, is a dead theory. Go look up what happened.
How old do you think Earth actually
real
is?
Real quick, sir, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. Stick on one topic. I like you, but you're dodging hard. You're really trying to dodge, and I'm trying to get some good points in here because
I'm
care about you.
I'm really the one dodging.
I'm literally not dodging. I'm going very deep on every point, and I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm just telling you that's what I'm doing. So you need to go look up what happened in 2017 at the London Royal Society.
See link 9 for a list of items from the 2017 Royal Society on Evolution. There was a meeting in August of that year with the title New Trends in Evolution, and there was much robust discussion, and evolution deniers have been dining out on it ever since. Yet, in the world of actual scientific progress, evolution is alive and well, and new discoveries continue to be made, and the theory of evolution continues to be strengthened as evidence continues to be gathered. If you feel inclined, you can read what the shocker of a website, Evolution News, has to say about the event. I won't include a link. Joel, as is usual, is overstating the polemic. I wonder if he'll still be talking about 2017 when 2027 rolls on by and evolution is still upright and fighting.
What happened to the theory of evolution? You need to go look that up and see what the world's leading evolutionists actually have to say about the theory of evolution. I'm telling you this, sir, it is a dead theory. It is DOA. It is dead on arrival. No leading evolutionists still believe in Neo-Darwinian evolution. So, sir, you can continue to try to prop it up until they give you a new paradigm. But I'm telling you, your life's going to be a lot easier if you open up your Bible, read it, see your sin problem, repent, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything will make sense for you.
I've had enough trauma and manipulation. Thanks, Joel. You can sling that one.
What do you have that makes the Bible true?
All right,
do you have any evidence on that?
Well, look, we can't get into it now, but the very concept of evidence presupposes God.
And this is why entering a live conversation with the likes of Joel is a fool's errand. This is his anchor. He is a presuppositionist to the core, and you'll never, never get him to concede anything while he is nailed to that statement. It's bullshit. It stinks. And engaging directly will only make you dirty. Maybe that's why the atheist guest sounds high. I'd have to be to do that.
The Christian God, the triune God of Scripture.
There is no evidence.
And that's all we have of that first guy. I'm sure it must have gone on for longer, but it clearly got cut. So let's go on to person two and see what happens.
I'm really interested in the start of this, that evolution is dead on arrival. And mainly also, when you say these evolutionary biologists aren't doing Neo-Darwinian like ideas, are you mainly saying that's because they're more in the modern synthesis? Like they're still believing life evolved from a common ancestor, right? That's not actually left at all from evolutionary biology.
So you're not aware of what happened at the 2017 meeting of the London Royal Society?
Oh no, could you elucidate me?
Let me look it up.
If you have a link too, that'd be great.
Sure. While I'm looking that up, do you want to make a point or ask a question?
Well, so I'm mainly concerned with this idea that evolution is dead on arrival when the scientific community is like that. That's what I'm mainly concerned about here. When we're talking about evolution, I felt that I could probably present its case a little bit more.
Sure.
This is a hobby of mine. When we're looking at evolution, there's literally the reason why it's like a theory is because there's literally no evidence that goes against it. All observable evidence directly points to evolution. You can look at the fossil record, you can look at genetics, you can look at biogeography, comparative embryology, the list goes on and on and on. And all of it points to evolution. No matter what you do, the rock layer goes back billions of years.
This is better. Great summary. There's lots of detail there to pick out.
So what you're doing is you're reading evidence according to your worldview, just like I read evidence according to my worldview. So how are we to judge? Just to elaborate on what I'm getting at here, I am not aware of any conclusive or good evidence for evolution that is not countered and rebutted and refuted by a young earth Christian creationist interpretation of the exact same evidence.
Or a magical unicorn if you really want to start playing that game.
So as confident as you may be in your evolutionary theory, and I don't know if you're an atheist or not, you haven't said that, but in your worldview...
It's irrelevant to whether evolution
happened. That's correct. Right? The question is, you could be wrong, I could be wrong. How are we to judge? How are we to judge what's true?
By looking for evidence, maybe? Something that will separate one view from the other?
And so really the question of evolution goes back a layer, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can make novel testable predictions. We can make a ton of predictions about what we'll see in the natural world.
Yes, this.
Okay, the interesting thing about that is you're talking about the scientific method.
Yes, used all over the world.
Which was propounded first by Christians operating out of a Christian worldview.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What moron thinks that is a good point? A Christian inventing something does not make that thing Christian. And it certainly doesn't mean that it automatically validates the pet Christian sect of the person who did it. The Christians who were there at the start of the scientific revolution did not believe the same Christianity that Joel believes today. There were also Muslims in that time period doing great science. There were also atheists doing good science in that time period. Oh, and to make it relevant, there are Christians who have made fantastic discoveries in the field of evolution. Checkmate, you ignorant cocksucker. Jesus Christ.
So are you a Christian?
Okay. No, I don't need to... Mendel was in a monastery, dude. I don't need to be a Christian to see that Christians have done work in science, right? Like that.
Well,
it's irrelevant. Work, you know,
revolution itself comes from Christianity. Yeah, it comes from Christian.
It's irrelevant, right? We're talking about the evidence.
It's very relevant since we're talking about science. It's incredibly relevant.
We're talking about the evidence as it is now, right? And so if we're worried about where this stuff came from, then it's verging on just genetic fallacy stuff. Like, why do we care?
I hear what you're saying, and I want to be careful to avoid the genetic fallacy, as I think you should as well. But the question comes in, how are we to judge between worldviews? Since you're interpreting the evidence through your worldview, and I'm interpreting the evidence through my worldview, I look at rock layers, and oftentimes, depending on where they're located, I see a global flood. I look at the fossil record, and I see a global flood. It all fits perfectly within the biblical framework.
Then let's do this. Then let's make an observation. We see a bunch of rock layers that are they're stratigraphic. They're layered on top of one another, and in these rock layers, we see a variety of fossils.
And we also see polystrate trees.
Polystrate trees is another talking point that creationists love. There are some good explanations of them. See Link 10 for one example, which goes out of its way to show that these have been explained for over 100 years already. They are not a new problem. They are not even a problem. They form in specific circumstances, namely near rivers and in a clay environment. What Joel is demonstrating here is that he only gets his information from creationist science denial sources. He is not making the effort to read what scientists are actually saying about them.
Yeah, polystrata trees are not a defeat to stratification. They form in bogs. It's well understood how polystrata trees form.
Bogs that last over billions of years or millions of years.
It's not a defeater like you think it is, dude. It's well established
Listen, I think polystrata trees are hilarious. I think that they're God's little way of debunking evolution. But
it's literally not a debunk because it's explained.
That's fine. Yeah. Again, I look at a polystrata tree. I see a tree that was surrounded by sedimentary layers. You look at it and you see one that grew in bog, and somehow those millions of years of rock layers were somehow deposited there. That's fine. My point is not to argue rock layers with you. That's literally not my point. You have to posit another worldview that you think is a better alternative to biblical Christianity.
And this is the nub of it. Joel's not interested in evidence. He's not interested in how you try to work out what is true, how you work out how things work. He's only interested in the starting point. Starting point, God is real, the Bible is true, blah, anything else follows from that. He's not interested in actually finding things out. He's just interested in asserting his God and his God onto the world that he sees. That's not actually how other people operate, but he's imposing his modus operandi onto everybody else.
We can argue rock layers till we're blue in the face. That's fine. My question is, how do you know what's true in the first place? What is your standard for judging what's true, and what even counts as evidence, or what even makes evidence a meaningful concept in the first place? That's where we have to get to. Are you willing to go there?
I can make novel testable predictions about my reality, dude. At the end of the day, no matter what you do, you are going to see these fossils in this order. Why are the fossils in the order that they are?
You keep trying to make it about rock layers.
That's the point. That's the observation. Are you asking me how I can trust my own senses?
I'm asking you, what makes you think the truth and evidence and your truth-seeking faculties are even meaningful concepts to begin with?
Because I can make novel testable predictions. I can make predictions about what I will see, and I can see if those predictions will come true and have explanatory power.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you are assuming, your starting presupposition is that you have truth-seeking faculties that are working, that they are aimed at truth, that you're in a propitious environment. All these things are things that you're assuming, you're bringing them to the table.
Notice how this time it's Joel who's not actually addressing the point raised. He's sticking to his own talking points. He can't step out of his comfort zone. He's on the back foot. He's squirming. Hit him with more evidence. He can't handle it.
My question is, where do those things come from, and what is your basis for believing all those things? Where do those faith commitments come from?
What faith commitments?
All the things that I just enumerated.
That I can just trust my senses enough to make observations?
Your senses, your reasoning, your intuition, all the conclusions that you're making, the fact that there is even truth to be found at all, what makes you presuppose those things before you even begin your scientific inquiry?
Are you asking me if I can come to the objective conclusion of what's happening?
No, like I'm asking you why you think, I'm asking you why you think that any of the necessary preconditions for science, in this case, historical science, since we're talking about what happened in the past, why do they even obtain? Why do you think that, I'll say it again, your truth-seeking faculties are properly functioning, that they are aimed at truth, and that they are functioning in a propitious environment? In other words, in the kind of environment in which they were designed to function. Why do you think that the preconditions of science, such as uniformity in nature, inductive reasoning, and the invisible, immaterial, universal, absolute laws of mathematics and logic are even there? Why do you think that evidence is even a meaningful concept?
When you can't address the evidence, attack thinking instead. This is desperate. But it is how the presuppositionalist thinks. They literally take the view that without their God, we can't trust anything. And yet our humble human minds manage to create the concept of test and experiment. We see consistency in the world, and so we act on that consistency and behave as though it's reliable. We build a machine based on that consistency, and find that those machines also behave consistently. It's the real-world experience that we all enjoy.
Why do you think there's even an objective truth to get to? Why, like, you're presupposing all these things.
I don't think I can get to objective truth.
Why do you believe in that?
I don't think anyone can get to objective. I think we can get a good subjective understanding, but I don't think
we can. Is that true? Is that objectively true?
I don't know. I think I can try to make objective statements, but there's no way of knowing if that's going to be true or not.
Is that true, that there's no way of knowing?
I have no idea.
Do you know that you have no idea?
Sure, I guess. I don't know.
Is that true that you don't know?
It's a subjective statement, dude. There's nothing, like, I'm literally a mind, right?
You're making objective statements about how there is you can't know objective truth.
I said I don't know, right?
Why are we talking?
This is bullshit. Joel is trying the Frank Turek gambit. How can you make a truth statement when you don't believe in truth? It's tedious and it's disingenuous. Either discuss in good faith or exit the room.
Because I wanted to talk about the evidence for evolution, and you're going in a completely different direction.
Look, I'm telling you.
You just want to ignore the reality around.
I don't want to ignore. Listen,
substitute your own.
I get it. You think I'm obfuscating. I think you're avoiding the question. I'm telling you, there are good rebuttals for all the evidence that you think that you have for evolution.
Then bring them, not this bullshit flim-flam. Fucking hell.
Now you're
let's go through them. Wait. If you agree that there's like actual evidence against them, then why are you going against all this diatribe? You clearly think your senses can arrive at evidence against evolution, but you won't discuss it.
I do, of course, yes.
No, then let's discuss it. Then why are we talking about this? If you think you can arrive with your senses at evidence that disproves evolution, why are we talking about this? Talk about the evidence that you can observe.
My friend, you've just revealed that you don't think that objective truth is even knowable. Do you see how we have a much more fundamental problem? I could prove young earth creation to you till I'm blue in the face. And all you could come back and say, I'm not convinced. I can never know the truth.
So do you have evidence or not?
Yes. There's.
Then let's talk about it. What? Right now. Then right now, I would like you to explain the stratigraphic layers.
Are you going to listen with your ears?
Yeah, if you have evidence,
Why do you trust your ears?
Jesus Christ, Joel, do you really have to be such an annoying prick?
I don't want to talk about this.
So you don't have evidence is what I mean.
I understand the fact that you don't. Oh, I understand. Listen, sir.
Look, my senses could be completely wrong and I could still be right. That is entirely true. My senses could be wrong and I could be right. A blind man can still grab something, right?
Is that true?
Supposedly?
Is it true? Is it supposedly true? Is it true that it's supposedly true?
Oh, my God.
You know, these objective truth claims. Listen, every time that I challenge you on whether or not something's true, you dodge that.
You literally think there's evidence that show evolution is false. You think that is a true thing. You think that's a true statement. You've said this, but you won't share it. So if you think there is evidence, then why are we even discussing whether we can trust our senses? You literally think your senses can arrive at the statement that evolution is false.
Evidence is not a meaningful concept. Evidence is something that points towards truth. You don't think truth is meaningful. Why would you want to talk about evidence? Now, I already mentioned a piece of evidence to you, polystrate trees.
And I addressed polystrata trees. I addressed polystrata trees.
You rejected it. You've got a hypothesis.
I explained how they form. They form in
bonds. You mentioned rock layers. I rejected your interpretation of rock layers. Do you see how we could do this?
We didn't even discuss the rock layers.
Yeah, I said that they were laid down rapidly in the flood.
Okay. So then let's go deeper in that. So can you explain to me why do we see gradually increasing complexity from the bottom to the top of those rock layers?
Okay. Does God exist?
That's irrelevant to whether evolution happened.
100% relevant.
No, because a God could have magic zapped.
I don't believe that.
Life into existence and then.
Is that what you believe?
It's not what I believe, but it's a permanent, non-contradictory view, right?
No, I don't believe it and you don't believe it. So neither one of us is representing that view. We can put that to bed. I'm sure we both have great.
Yeah, it's a non sequitur. It's a non sequitur on whether God exists, right?
No, because if God exists and he does, then he has spoken in his word and he's revealed how things happened. Now, if you don't believe that God exists and can speak, therefore, that we are at an impasse and you're going to have to go back to your non-belief in God or your belief that God doesn't exist. But listen, you want to talk about rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic while your worldview is sinking. You need to.
Your worldview is not sinking at all, actually.
Does God exist?
It's irrelevant to whether evolution happened.
Is it true that it's irrelevant? Is it true that it's irrelevant?
Yeah. Quite literally, a God could have just instantiated all the chemical and physical laws. You can try to point to the contradiction in this statement all you want. A God could have instantiated all the chemical and physical laws in the universe in such a way for life to emerge from those properties and diversify afterwards.
This is true. That could be the case. How would we find evidence for it, though?
There's no contradiction in that.
Well, you don't believe that.
No, I don't.
Okay, so neither do I.
I don't arrive to that conclusion because of my understanding of evolution. Right? I don't arrive at my religious beliefs because...
So I just asked you if it was true that it was irrelevant, and you said yes. 5 minutes ago, you said the truth is unknowable.
This is straightforward, dishonest equivocation. Joel should know better, but it's standard playing card practice for this kind of creationist. It's awful.
I said objective knowledge is unknowable. If you by truth you just mean like the best we can do, then sure, right?
The best we can do, that's very subjective.
I don't think you can know something.
I reject your arbitrary standard. I reject you as the self-proclaimed arbitrary standard of truth. What do you do now? Do you have another standard?
I'm so bored. Oh.
The guest is right to be frustrated. I would be too. Maybe I already am.
Listen, you can say you're bored, but the fact is I'm making points that you need to be able to think about. You don't have to answer me. That's fine. But if God had spoken, then you are going to have to answer to that God someday. And talking about rock layers is not going to do it. You've got to answer for your sin before Almighty God. And that's why God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. So the question of rock layers is like tertiary. You want to talk about rock layers. I'm not going to accept your conclusions. You're not going to accept my conclusions because we're coming from different starting points. You don't think objective truth is knowable. You don't have an objective basis for trusting your truth-seeking faculties or that they're functioning in a propitious environment and that they're aimed at truth. I do. Why? Because my Bible tells me so. You don't have a Bible.
So you don't have that kind of basis. You want to actually, because remember, you said you had literal evidence for this, right?
I believe that
you clearly believe you can arrive with these conclusions. I want to know how you arrived at these conclusions.
Sir, you don't think again, objective truth is knowable. I'm not going to waste my breath debating evidence which aims at objective truth. Why would I do that?
If you're not going to waste your time, then why are you even having me up here?
I'm trying to show you the fundamental flaw in your worldview in hopes that you'll see your need for Jesus Christ.
So you will waste your time. Great. So can you tell me why we see gradual change of fossils in the stratigraphic record? Like, why do we see that? Why do we see simple organisms and then more complex organisms over time?
You're really still pushing this. Because
you literally said you had evidence. So you clearly think you can arrive at this with your senses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so correct. Well, I reject your authority over me, and I reject your arbitrary standard of truth.
So you don't want to share with the class. That's great.
I'm under no obligation to share evidence with someone who doesn't believe objective truth is knowable.
Again, with the dishonest misrepresentation of what was actually said earlier. Jesus, Joel.
And that might be frustrating to you. That doesn't change the existence of the evidence. I know about the evidence. You won't accept the evidence anyway, and you don't believe that objective truth is knowable. So yeah, I reject your authority, and I reject your fiat declaration that I have to do something.
I'm right, but I won't share my reasons.
That's correct. Yeah. That's called being based.
It's called running away from the discussion.
I'm literally not running away from the discussion. I'm trying to get to the foundation of our worldview.
Come on.
If you're not willing to go there, I'm sorry. I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
Okay. That's fine. I think I've made my point, to be honest.
I think that you've made your point. I don't think it's the point you were trying to make. But if you really want to look up some of this evidence, go do a search for rock layers on Answers in Genesis or the Biblical Creation Institute.
I would love to talk about them, but you don't want to talk about them.
I'm sure you would, but you don't think objective truth is knowable. I think you're doing a serious dodge.
God, that's rich. Joel accuses him of doing adultery, and that's literally all Joel has done for the entire conversation with him. This guy has tried to push the point about talking about evidence, and Joel has done everything but talking about evidence, and then Joel goes and accuses him of doing a dodge. Fucking hell.
Look, man, we've got some fundamental differences. You're demanding evidence. I'm refusing to give it to you. Go look it up. I'm not going to do that for you.
Okay.
You want to answer my question? I'm not going to answer you.
Thank you for having me up.
Have a great day.
Congratulations on getting this far, dear listeners. I hope it wasn't too frustrating for you. I know it was definitely frustrating for me. But sometimes we need to endure this just to show us what kind of things are out there and what kind of ignorance and stupidity people will reveal about themselves when talking about atheists and atheism. Maybe the next episode will be a little bit lighter. Maybe the next episode will be a little bit more intellectually stimulating. Or maybe it won't. Let's just see, shall we? Until next time, be reasonable.
You have been listening to a podcast from Reason Press. Do you have any thoughts on what you've just heard? Do you have a topic that you would like us to cover? Please send all feedback to reasonpress@gmail.com. You might even appear on an episode. Our theme music was written for us by Holly. To hear more of her music, see the links in our show notes.